the Mighty One. God the Lord speaks and summons the earth, from the rising of the sun to where it sets. From Zinnion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather to me this consecrated people, who made covenant with me by sacrifice.
Things that I discovered about Psalm 50 is that whether it's the New Revised Standard Version or the New International Version or the one we're using today, which is the First Nations Version, I believe, they are all very different, like significantly different, which is not completely typical. But it gives this wide breadth of material to work with. And there are a few things that, regardless of what version you're reading, that are important to understand about this scripture. The first, or that I believe are, I think the context is helpful, I should say. So the first one to me is that this is actually a sermon. And so if we reread this and think about this as it being said as a sermon a long, long, long time ago to this great group of people that's been like working hard. They come every week. They're doing everything they are supposed to do. And then this poor person stands up with this message from God and it's like, you're doing it all wrong and God's coming to judge you. Like, whoa, what just happened here? Take a step back. The context is that this is an invitation to renew a covenant that, like all people ever in the entirety of the history of the world, these people are experiencing a little gap in between what they say they believe and how they're behaving. I don't have that gap, so I'm not sure what that would be like, but... The first thing, honestly, that comes to mind when I think of the gap between belief and behavior is all my beliefs about the environment and then the way I live my life and how, for me, part of the... this isn't an excuse, but it's a reality we all live in. It's like we can say we believe in these things and we believe them very strongly and truly, but we also live in societies where we're entangled in realities that box us into things. And for me, that's why we come to church, to be reminded that we're doing the best we can, and although we're very hard on ourselves, and we always feel like we can do better, we have limitations. And the interesting thing to me about saying this right now in a sermon about justice is that when I think about justice, it's this hard push to do better, to never be good enough, to always strive for expanding our boundaries, to putting in more, to spending more time, to being more extreme. And then there's this reality that when we look at the scripture and we really like dig into it, justice in the Hebrew sense is very different than this like egoic need to create a world that we think is what God would want. This is a sermon. And so not my sermon, but Psalm 50, just to be clear, because I don't want to get myself into trouble. But because Psalm 50 is a sermon, the wicked people that are being talked about are actually the people that are being spoken to in this passage. And so it doesn't set it off to a good start. Like, who's going to be an open mind listener when the pastor's standing up telling you that you're wicked? Not me. Like, I'm going to put my hand down for that question. So it kind of sets it up to think that in the context of justice, we're all in trouble. And for them, their trouble began with the sacrificial system. That they were bringing animals to sacrifice in the temple, and that it wasn't being seen or understood in the way that God intended it to be. The sacrifice was being seen as the animal. So, like, the more expensive animal, the bigger the animal, the better the sacrifice. And so all of a sudden in the scripture passage, we see this really magical to me thing begin to happen. Jesus is, or God, or the Holy Spirit, all three in one, I suppose, are orchestrating this cosmic intervention. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. I've been watching you sacrifice animals and you're like going way overboard. Like you're sacrificing more animals, you're sacrificing bigger animals, more expensive animals, and I don't need your animals. They're already all my animals. I don't need the sacrifice of the animals. I need the sacrifice of your thanksgiving. That when you're bringing the animals to me, it's with a heart filled of, this is not my animal. And I would much rather keep whatever this preciousness is. But in this moment, as a reminder that nothing in creation is mine, I give it back to you. And so if you think about what they were giving up and sacrificing, it was food, it was labor. For us, I think money really is the reflection of food, of labor, of all that we desire, of independence. For them, it was animals. But what's happening in this Psalm 50, in this sermon, is this calling out, this divine intervention of, look, you're bringing me some great animals. I'm not going to short you that. But that's not the point. Like, that's not what we're supposed to be doing here. We're supposed to be remembering that I created all of this, and you are part of that creation. And to separate ourselves from that attachment, that this is ours, and we have to figure out what to do with it, and do it right, and protect it, and whatever else kind of comes to our minds when we think about money as investing, or sharing, or giving away. So God summons all of creation for this divine intervention. This is such an imaginative scripture. Can you imagine that right now, all of a sudden, the whole world begins to swirl, and these walls fall down, and this ceiling comes up, and the heavens are coming down, and animals are flooding in, and bees and insects and birds and creatures of all kinds are encircling us. And all of a sudden we hear this great big voice of, wow, guys, we're all here because you really missed the boat. And because you've missed the boat, you're causing destruction and things are going wrong. I love the idea of an intervention. Because when we think about being in trouble, we think about God's wrath. We think about God being angry. But when we think about an intervention and all of creation participating in it, it comes from such a different perspective of how much must God love us? That God seeks out with judgment to right our wrongs. Because our wrongs aren't just on us. They don't just impact us, but they impact all of creation. And so all of creation, the heavens and the earth, are standing witness and saying, you matter. We know you can be better. And being better doesn't mean doing better. It means knowing better. It means understanding better. It means doing the exact opposite of everything you think you're supposed to be doing. God wants us to be needy. God wants us to be faithful to all that we cannot see. When I pray sometimes, I always kind of struggle with this reality of, should I be asking for this? Am I asking for too much? Am I being too needy? And in this passage, what God is saying is, I need you to be needy, because when you are needy, it communicates to me that you understand that in my hands rest all things, that I am the embodiment of the soil that grows you food and the sun that shines to make the plants grow. Everything and all things come from me. This is the justice that we are gathering around. justice and judgment in the Hebrew Bible, mishpat, are the same thing. But the word for wrath is very different. This is not a witness of God's wrath. This is mishpat, the judgment and justice, which combine to reflect God's need and desire for us to be in right relationship with all things because we matter, because we are needed. And our call is to bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. That what justice really is the proper orientation, the right understanding, the generous response to God in an appropriate way, which is a vital concern for any worship service. God uses judgment to seek out and reward those who love God. God knows in our hearts that we are doing our best. We are bringing bigger offerings and bigger presents. We are beating ourselves up harder and harder. And God intervenes with all of creation and says, knock it off. I love you. You are needed. And all I want is to be in right relationship to you, which means a recognition that all of this, the birds, the butterflies, the flowers, the pumpkin spice lattes, all of this belongs to me and is given to you so that you might be thankful, so that you might know you are loved. And in knowing you are loved, you might love all things. This is the right relationship that we gather around today. A reminder that we are loved, that the world is love, and that justice is just a call out, a reminder to right the wrongs in a way that is generous and smooth and soft, not harsh and wrathful. Today, I invite us to settle deeper into our pews, to soften our hearts, to open our minds, and to give ourselves the grace that we are worthy of a divine intervention. Amen.